Urgent question, then you have a unique opportunity to pose it.
You call it psychedelic music, is that what they call it?
Yes, they did.
And so my funny question is, so what drugs were available at that time?
I mean, you mean what kind of influence came
from? Drugs.
Oh, drugs. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my. Beer, first of all. Well, I don't think, well, they had much access on drugs. Well, I think marijuana could be smuggled into the country in the late 60s. Or, well, there were some local imitations of some psychedelic, hallucinogenics. Yeah. Well, and there was these mushrooms. Well, I just CB. Well, just so I think, well, they were popular too. But basically, well, these musicians were quite innocent about drugs at that time. Yeah, I think, well, yes.
Me, the first song that you were playing was about heroin.
Yes.
Was that just a cultural influence of the Velvet Underground?
Just
or?
For the sake of provocation, you know. Okay. I don't think that any of them would ever try to. In the late 60s. Well, maybe later on, you know. And also, they were influenced by the Velvet Underground. I failed to mention, it was the myth of the Velvet Underground with their heroin gods, etc. So. Yeah, I think, well, that was just a provocation.
Yeah.
If the music in the 70s was addressed to a small audience, and it was much more experimental in the style, right?
Yes.
So how come that it has something like Charter 77? I mean, you have to have like broader appeal, and you have also the kind of political consciousness. Because I know, because they were in prison or something like that.
Yes.
Charter 77 was.
Yeah, well, it was just. Well, I may have not explained everything. Just well, there was a more or less. There were police raids and there were interrogations, but the whole of the underground movement managed to escape the notice of this on the side of the secret police until 1976. Well, that was the so-called big trial. When they were rather inconspicuous. Well, even Mr. Havel later on pointed out several times that he knew only little about these musicians and artists and poets. Well, and he said several times that he had known heroes from the late 60s, but they were just acquaintances. And so, of course, these underground actions were kept in secret on purpose, of course. But then, following the so-called second festival of the second culture that took place in another village pub in Bojanovice in February 1976, about 20 musicians and their friends were arrested. And the totalitarian regime wanted to make it sort of a showpiece. Well, look at them. This is the examples of a rotten bourgeois art or whatever, or pseudo art or something like that. And so, originally, well, now we can start get information from the police archives. They were to be sentenced, really 20 of them. And later on, when the trial took place in September of the same year, only 6 of them were then sentenced. Thanks to the support they get from the prominent dissidents. Especially Václav Havel, but others were involved. Jaroslav Seifert, for instance, well, the famous Czech poet who couldn't publish his lyrics either, and who was Charter 77 signatory and the only Nobel Prize winner as far as the Czech literature scene is concerned. So even Professor Patočka, for instance, also supported them. So As I have also mentioned, actually, this trial was one of the most decisive impulses that made these prominent dissidents establish the Charter 77. So they acknowledged it several times. Well, that was the last straw that broke the camel's back, so to say. Well, of course, there were many more impulses. And so to repay them this kindness, most of these underground musicians and artists signed the charter. which on the other hand sort of destroyed the underground scene, because well, there is, since then on it was interwoven with the Charter 77 movement, and it became much more visible. Which then, okay, well, no, well, I just also try to emphasize the gloominess of the late 70s. Well, so the Passion Player and other gigs, well, there was no longer any entertainment in just the original sense of the word. Well, it was just reflecting the police terror and the oppression of the with which especially the Charter 77 movement was hit. So since after 1977, the underground scene has become a part of the dissident scene, and has been politicized. So which was sort of counterproductive, because originally it didn't want to be involved in the oppositional, latent oppositional movement at all. It wanted to pursue their aims, their artistic aims, and so unfortunately they failed. So have I answered the question? Okay.
Short.
Yeah, I would like to ask about the emergence of this religious inspiration in the plastic, which I find quite, let's say, counterintuitive to like what we know about the type as a country or as a like a secularized culture. And as far as I know, also like the church as an institution didn't play much role in the opposition movement in Czechoslovakia. And the third, that they had like a whole range of new age discourses to express their ecstatic and metaphysical.
Well, yes. As far as religion, originally it played little role, almost no role. You're quite right in pointing out that the culture of rock and roll movement or whatever is really secular one. So it is not much to do with religion. But in the course of the years, don't let us forget that it was also, especially the Catholic Church, it was prosecuted. And so some of the artists and the friends of the band were religious persons. Well, so for instance, Svatopluk Karásek and also Vratislav Brabenec, they studied theology at the Faculty of Divinity. And so one of the very very famous underground singers, Svatopluk Karásek, played gospel songs actually, which well was made comprehensible, because actually these rockers started to understand the religious terms as they sort of were able to identify their trouble with those with the trouble as rendered by Christian tradition. So it was quite surprising, and well, we shouldn't forget that it was not a dominating tenor, so to say. There were religious trends within the underground movement, but there were very different ones as well. For instance, I mentioned Egon Bondé, who was also, besides being a poet, he was also a philosopher, always claiming he would be a non-orthodox Marxist philosopher. Well, Maoist, Trotskyist, whatever. Well, so it was so fascinating, and I would consider this to be a specific value of Czechoslovak underground movement, that it included the most varied trends. So next to the punk rock Satanists or whatever, there were, on one stage you could see the parson singing their gospels. You know, so only the outside pressure. That was a positive result of this outside pressure that made people to develop more tolerance with one another. So actually, we could hardly imagine such people to meet well without had it not been of this political and police pressure. There'd be no use actually. So that's what I've always considered to be a sort of like, well, a positive factor that helped establish something unique of its kind. I also, when closing my paper, I mentioned this special contributive factor that is found in the anxiety coming from the expectation of the police raids. You know, you can even now you can see the plastic people on stage, but you can never ever experience this fear because it's gone. And I wonder if it's something positive or negative. Of course, positive. But on the other hand, you know, I was lucky enough to see about 3 or 4 gigs since 1974 onwards. And I just only can give evidence how thrilling it was and how what joy we could share when the gig was successful without any interference from the side of the police, you know. So, and of course it helped mutual understanding. So that was something just you have to take into account the political situation to interpret adequately these musical events or art shows or whatever.
Thank you very much. I think it was a very interesting session, and I'm very thankful, and I hope you enjoyed yourself also, not only amongst new information. And there is one more program that is absolutely facultative, but you are very welcome. The Center for Arts and Culture is kind enough to add a film session to this lecture series. And the first film will be a change of program because the Plastic People of the Universe documentary by Kitilova didn't make it to Budapest, so there will be Andrzej Wajda's Innocent Sorcerers, which is a very nice film from the early 1960s, actually 1960, and it's a kind of like Wajda's attempt to make a French New Wave film, so it's a kind of very different than the Wajda films, the usual historically minded Wajda films. This is a very light film, and why it's interesting for us is, in addition to being a good film, is that he is featuring actually the jazz community of the early 60s, Krzysztof Komeda is figuring it, who was the most interesting Polish jazz musician, but even Polanski is playing a role in the film, so like we have very interesting figures in it. And Jerzy Skolimowski, who is probably the most interesting 1960s Polish director, like kind of new wave director, was the other script writer. So it's a kind of very nice, like it's really like a Godard film or a Truffaut, early Truffaut film. I mean, it has a very different dynamism than wider films in general, so I very much recommend it for all of you who are still having force and stamina to watch films. Thank you very much, and next week we will have a Slovenian guest from Ljubljana, and he will talk about punk in the 1980s in Ljubljana and in Yugoslavia in general. So, see you.